meanwhile, at the castle.
What, what, Mr. Duck? Calm down.
excuse me. Can I please have some decorum? We're going to be starting our meeting. So, as you know, with some of our recent properties, we've not had too great on some of those, and one of those has really been struggling with ratings as of lately, and we need to bring this person in. As you know, I am not one to waste time where money can be spent. So, we're going to go ahead and bring him in and let him explain himself. So, if you can, we're now going to introduce Mr. Kennedy Vincent McMahon.
Thank you, Mr. Mouse.
As you should be. So, as you know, your show has been struggling, and now I know you understand what a great opportunity to be part of our flagship is, and you need to be able to pull your weight. So we have decided to have you explain yourself. But real quick, we have to air out some grievances. I would like Mr. Duck to air out his grievances so we can get it out the way. Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Duck. Goofy, you go ahead and air your grievances as well.
Well, let me tell you, 3 hours is not fun.
All right, now that we've gotten that business out of the way, Mr. McMahon, do you have something that you would like to tell us?
No, Mr. Mouse.
Excuse me. I believe you understand the great amount of pressure that we're under. We are a flagship, an empire, will you? Of that we have standards that need to be met. If you are going to tear down our empire, we must cut you from the cloth. With respect, of course.
Yes, Mr. Mouse.
So what is it that you're exactly going to be doing? I need you to make sure that your show, WWE Raw, is in full effect, or we will be forced to have to spank you.
Yes, Mr. Mouse.
All right, now, get out there and do your best. And remember, whatever you do, do it with a smile.
Thank you, Mr. Mouse.
You can leave now.
Yes, Mr. Mouse.
Thank you. And there you have it. That is the end of our meeting. If anybody else has any new business that we'd like to talk about, you are more than welcome to do so. Thank you, and see you soon.
Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got a couple of the bad boys here with me. Simon Street, what's up, man?
Just want to let everybody know, don't think that ain't nobody saw what you did when you fell in the street. Because the streets is always watching.
And Matt Michaels, how are you?
I just want to let y'all know, don't trip in the street. Because if you trip in the street,
okay,
then you might skin your knee or possibly an elbow.
That is a possibility. So thank you for allowing us to know that. It's a PSA, yeah. Right?
It's PSA. We care. We care about your fucking knees.
Apparently. So we don't have our other two members. They're on assignment, King Lucky and Sin City Steve. And, you know, we haven't heard from King Lucky in a while. Don't worry, guys. He's still here. He's just busy.
Well, you didn't hear what happened, right?
Okay.
Well, apparently there was a lot of problems going on in Smarkville.
Okay.
And you know, our sovereign king, King Lucky, has responsibilities. And part of that is laying the smackdown on a couple of jabronis.
Right.
Who all of a sudden, it's against the law in Smarkville to have common sense.
Oh.
And so some Smarks started forming a cult of common senseness.
Oh, boy.
And so that meant, you know, not being a Smark. So,
sure.
You know, King Lucky is over there, you know, dealing with those faces.
I got you.
And, yeah, it's going to be interesting. When he gets back, he'll have a lot to say, I'm sure.
I'm sure. So we're going to get into a three count in just a second. And then after we come back from our guest, Christopher Daniels from AEW. I know, right? Exciting. The Fallen Angel. After we get back from talking with him, we had our SummerSlam experience, Simon Street, and we'll get Matt's also what he thought about the show. We'll talk about Raw, because we know who came back, which we will talk about later. But for now, let's do three count.
It's time. Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
One, two, three.
Count Talk.
Count Talk, baby.
All right, so from Deadspin.com, AEW newest signing is as divisive as wrestlers get. And that's a quote. And you know who their new signee is?
Orange Cassidy.
Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. I'm a big fan of Orange Cassidy, okay? So I think it's a good thing, but let's get it. There are some fans that are a little bit kind of going, I'm not sure. And for those who's not familiar with Orange Cassidy, he wrestles with his hands in his pockets, with sunglasses on, throwing weak strikes, and you know, have a sense of laziness within the ring. But again, that's a comedy shtick, right? Nevertheless, do you feel that during these times of high risk maneuvers and flippy doos and you know, all the things that's really happening fast-paced in the ring, is there a room for Orange Cassidy for the pure purpose of entertainment instead of putting on this great quality match? Is this a smart acquisition, not so smart, or time would tell? What do you guys think about this?
I think it's great. And it's a great opportunity yet again for AEW to continue to build their brand of all-inclusiveness, which really has just been great. When you want to look at, hey, we got this, we're going to have AEW on TNT. People are familiar with the brand. And Orange Cassidy is going to be a great signing, because whoever said there was a rule for, you know, being a part of the product, like, oh, we can't have somebody that does comedy stick, you know, that does like a parody of actual wrestling. And that's what he does. And it's amazing. It's entertaining. People get engaged. People love it. You know, the only thing that I would maybe mention, and I'm sure AEW in their infinite knowledge understands how they would like to go about this, is probably, you know, would he be a part of some high caliber matches? Probably not. But would I still pay and be happy to see him? Yes. I mean, come on. WWE did it for years with Santino Morella. Did you really believe half the stuff you saw Santino Morella do?
True.
That wasn't a snake.
Well, I mean, some women would have called it a snake. I called it, a cobra. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think there's a place for it. And I think, again, AEW is showing the type of all-inclusive diversity of roster that they have. They have something for everybody. They're not trying to be just one person. That's my take on it.
Okay. I mean, Matt, what do you think about this? I mean, it seems like it's a really good idea. But at what point, as you start going through the roster, that people are going to say, I mean, I'm not sure if I want to be a part of this? I mean, is Cody ever have a match with him? It was anyone from with Jericho? I'm just throwing names, but or not even those top names. I mean, we can go in the middle card. I mean, at what point you find out you have this match, you go, well, that's real funny, but it's kind of getting old. And if I'm that caliber of wrestler, do I want to participate in this match with him?
So that is a very complex question.
Okay.
Because
well, thank you for not yelling at me, because you yell.
There's quite a few different levels to it.
Okay.
Layers.
I think the first things first is the involvement of a talent like this. He's already getting attention from the independent scene. People like him.
Yes.
The reason they like him is it's something different.
Right.
Okay. What you're going to see is it going to be where this is a high stakes type character? No, I don't think so. Especially at the beginning, you're probably not going to see that. the next thing is, will there be adaptation of the character as time goes on? So what you see now is not necessarily what you're going to see 2 years from now.
Right.
So then outside of the adaption, the next thing is you need people to be diverse in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because wrestling is not something that is a sitcom or a drama.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so you do need those different elements.
True.
Because you're probably not going to see Orange Cassidy on TV every single week.
Okay.
Because that becomes a burnout.
Sure.
And then you kill the character by doing that. So
right.
I think it's going to be a lot smarter. The other thing that's great is that guys like Sonny Kiss, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, these guys that they've been stockpiling as talent are people who have a niche that they've already established on the independent scene.
Mm-hmm.
So once they go in front of a national audience, you have fans who are already going to appreciate them.
Right.
You're going to have fans who don't know who they are and are going to get to know those characters.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get to understand if the characters need to adapt and change.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to. It's like right now, you know, when you have an article like this come up and this question come up, I think it's already just the nature of predetermining, oh, well, that's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
What he does isn't realistic. But it's masterfully done.
It is.
The way he does it is so good. So, you know, is this a selling point? Is this your main event? Is this your, you know, your Dave Meltzer 10-star match?
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be.
10-star match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one thing I wanted to kind of add, too. I think it's, it's when you take a look back of, you know, wrestling in general, if we were to go back way, like, let's just say 80s. Okay, let's do that. That's okay. Not way, way back, but sure. It's back enough to prove my point.
Right.
You know, a lot of the flippy dudes, I guess that's what we call it now. they don't call them aerial or high flyers anymore. It's just flippy dudes.
Right.
But flippy dudes, think of the imagination and, you know, just looking at the playing field where it is and having an opportunity, the platform of wrestling and where it's taking shape, and to be able to iterate that, right?
Right.
We find that entertaining. It's now just current. It's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you also look at, you know, you have, like, I call it the comedy stick character, right?
Okay.
You know, the amount of, you know, imagination that goes into it, and it fits just right, I feel. You know, we all want to laugh, but we all want to go, ooh, we want to say, oh, my gosh.
Right.
Again, I'm going to point out, I think AEW it has made it very clear that we're different. You know, we offer a different type of product. We want to accept any and everybody who's willing to have the same passion and drive that we do. And again, this is another acquisition that I'm sure that we'll see more of in the future.
Yeah.
That's kind of in the same base. It's like a perfect puzzle piece.
Right.
It's like every time they add somebody, it's just I can see, maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
I can see it to where it perfectly fits.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to see what their first product is on TNT.
Right.
I'm sure it's going to blend perfectly, and that's when you're going to see a lot of, you know, these new acquisitions really play out is on TV. You
True.
Know, and then you'll slowly start seeing them play a role in pay-per-view. So
yeah.
Super excited. Again, right now AEW hasn't really done anything to make me be upset or feel
right.
some kind of way. Kudos to them for the acquisition.
And by the way, Orange Cassidy, it's not that he can't do any of those
he
moves
can.
Because he actually can.
Yes.
You know,
and very well.
Yeah, it's just that everybody is doing that and he's saying, hey, I found something else that no one is doing that's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to come up with that and make it your own, you got to give props to. So,
yeah, very much so.
You know, shout out to Orange Cassidy and AEW for that. Let's go into our second ring count. Okay, so this is coming from SB Nation, MMMania.com. Corey Sanhagen, who's 27, just had a match against 37-year-old Rafael Assunção at UFC 241. And he actually won his match, but before the event, he made a comment that UFC should invest in younger guys. In fact, I'm going to try something that I haven't tried before, actually hearing the comments from himself. Let's see.
That there needs to be an investment in younger guys. We can't just keep continuing to like add in these really these big names with a lot of notoriety and just have them fight because that's what's going to make the most pay-per-view buys. There needs to be an investment in the younger guys, and that's my case. If they want to listen to it, they want to listen to it.
So I'm just curious. I mean, from you guys, I mean, is Corey right on this? I mean, this is, should UFC invest in younger guys, or should Corey understand that, hey, UFC is a business, and although we have these older talent that are in the ring that still puts on a great show, they are the ones that's actually bringing in the viewers to the pay-per-view, and obviously that's what UFC is looking for. What do you guys take on this?
You know, I mean, of course he has a point, you know, but also when I hear him say that, the one thing that I think, you know, people listen to this show and maybe people who may have read that article don't realize is UFC is invested in a whole bunch of younger talent. Now, mm-hmm. The question is, when you look at the format of these pay-per-views, yes, let's be honest, we're going to have some of the bigger, well-established names to draw them in. But I do think to a certain extent down the road, I think you may start seeing UFC do a little bit more. There's also other programs that UFC does in general where these younger guys are being shown and are being, you know, promoted. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not to totally shy away from what he was saying, I do think that if we're talking about the major pay-per-views, it would be nice for me as a fan, mm-hmm. to kind of start seeing some of these guys, you know, really get an opportunity such as he sure. got, you know, right. on a regular basis. But that's just me. I mean, you know,
I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I think if they have the other programs and stuff, that's your, you know, your stepping ladder. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it's you have to have the draw.
Right.
And yeah. if I don't know who Jorge Gonzalez is, I ain't going to watch, you know, the pay-per-view, but I know who Frank Mir is,
right.
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So to me, it's like, if, you know, if you want my dollar, am I going to spend it on Frank Mir, or am I going to spend it on Jorge Gonzalez, who I don't even know if this is a real person or not, but I'm right. sure it is. Jorge, if you're listening, give us a call. We'll interview you.
That's funny. Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of see that as well. I mean, I guess you can look at it from both points of view. I mean, Corey's young, again, is 27, and he's probably looking at...
But you know what's really funny? What's that? Is he wrestled a 37-year-old.
Yeah, he beat him, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would hope...
Just want to point it out there, I'm 37. Just want to say.
Okay.
Well, and that's what I was getting to, is that this 27-year-old made 37 sound like he was 55.
This is true.
That's true, right.
You know, and it's like, you know...
But isn't that there's always some sort of a age limit we're supposed to look at when it comes to... sports entertainment, where we always go, well, when your time you hit 35, you're mostly done now. Isn't that kind of how we look? Yeah, what's up, man?
I will say this. Mm-hmm. This is something that I've contemplated, and mm-hmm. I've shared it with you guys. I'm 37.
Right.
Right? By no stretch of the imagination, let's just say if I decide to go back to training mm-hmm. and try to give this a run, all okay. right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Off a glance, if I'm talking to a promotion, I'm like, well, you're 37. Mm-hmm. And that's assuming I can go immediately. Like, it probably might be more like 39.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, you're 39. Because they're looking forward to what's there down the road.
Right.
It's a little bit different because, again, in that scenario, I'm a nobody. In the sense, you don't know me. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you look at a lot of these already well-established, and whether we're talking about UFC, mixed martial arts, we're talking about wrestling, there is that nostalgia factor. Mm-hmm. People do, regardless of the different opinions,
yeah.
they will pay to see that. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? They want to see a young guy test his mantle, see what's happening against an older person. The only reason why I point that out is if you remember, there was a movie, Rocky came out of a movie, not the more recent ones, but where he first came back. And the whole thing was, is at the time, I'll give you a little bit of story background. Rocky, the character, Sylvester Stallone, he came back. He owned a restaurant. He didn't want to get into the boxing game no more in this movie. And he fought like this guy that, you know, it started off where I think ESPN did like a simulator on this current boxer versus Rocky. And they based off the stats and they showed that Rocky would have won.
Was that Creed? This movie Creed?
No, it wasn't. It was before the Creed movies. It was the last Rocky.
Oh, got you.
The last Rocky movie before the Creed movie. So
Rocky Balboa.
That's what it was. Rocky Balboa.
Thank you.
And the cool thing was, is that sparked this. I think he was the champion in this in his movie. He was pissed off. He was like, what the hell, man? You know, this 37. So I say all this to say that you could be an older guy, and it just all depends on being smart. There's ways, and especially in mixed martial arts, combos are supposed to be functional, okay? You anything that you do needs to be a function, all right? If you do a sidekick, that's hopefully to open up, push back, so you can go in with a combo with flurry of punches, possibly. You know, so as you get older, I think you would say, we get smarter. So the young guy that's 27... yeah, he may have some more energy. He may have more of a cardio, but you never know with an already established person with years of background.
Yeah,
that ain't going to be just easy to do. And I'm pretty sure he may say after this fight, you know, it was a bit of a challenge. Right. I had to work for that win.
True.
And there's money in that, I think. And I think that UFC may want to try and go with some younger guys, but at the same time, they're not losing any money what they've been doing now.
Right.
People still paying tons of money. And we're just talking about viewers. Sure. You spent money on a UFC seat lately? They're quite expensive.
Right.
And they're usually sold out. So obviously they're profitable.
Absolutely. Cool.
I'm sorry. I just heard combos and I'm thinking about a delicious snack.
No matter where you go, is your favorite combo usually number one, two, or three? Which one you usually choose, no matter where?
Oh, I was actually thinking of the, remember combos? The pretzels that had
It had the cheese in there. Right.
Cheese,
it had the cheese in there, They always had the just right amount of salt on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, not too much, not too little.
Right. All right, John. Well, let's go to the third count.
Three!
So from PWInsider.com. Now, again, I just want to say it is rumored, and again, it's truly rumored, okay, that there has been a...
Rumor has it.
I know, right? There's been a pitch for WWE... You know, man, he should be here, too. This is his story, man. Okay. Has been a pitch for WWE to put NXT on the USA Network to debut when AEW debuts on October 2nd. Now, that would run for 2 hours as well, and Dave Meltzer has chimed in saying that the show would have a live component and could also be taped on some weeks. Now, understanding that this is a rumor, okay, what would this, if this happened, what is this saying? AEW said they are not looking to compete, but rather just have another outlet for fans to experience. And NXT is known for being the best in this class, even over the main WWE products itself. So, you know, trying to bury AEW would definitely be in play if they were to do that. Would this be good for wrestling fans or not? I mean, what's your guys' take on this? I really was, again, it's a rumor, but, you know, let's now pretend this was happening. What would be like the purpose? Just to go ahead and just to kill AEW off, just to show that they can do it, or to really say, let's have some fair competition. Now, Matt Michaels is right now giving that, I think I'm getting that Michaels we normally get, you know, no, we're not. Okay.
Not at all. You're just yawning.
He just yawning.
There wasn't a fuck you in there.
Well, let's start off with you, Simon Street. I mean, guess. What are you, what's your take on that?
You know what? I will say this. I find it very ridiculous, very ridiculous that time in and time again, it's all about this supposed secret war between AEW and WWE. It's really redundantly stupid at this point.
Right.
I'm not an expert by no means, ladies and gentlemen, but let me tell you, AEW has made it on many different occasions quite apparent.
Right.
And if it doesn't get apparent with their own headquarters and executives saying we're not looking to compete,
right,
what part of that do you not understand? And, and this is going out to the smarks. This is going out to anybody that for whatever reason they just need to create controversy. AEW is not worried. about NXT. AEW is going to do what AEW is going to do. They're going to make money. They're going to be profitable. They're going to start off with being on TNT. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? They're going to do great. Now, as a wrestling fan, I'm super excited to be able to watch NXT and AEW. But the one thing that pops in my head is if there wasn't such a thing called the WWE Network that NXT is already on, and I regularly watch NXT probably before I go to bed, what's the difference? It's not the 90s anymore.
Well, I think the what someone would come back and say right. is that I would assume if they do this like they would be doing Raw and SmackDown, because you can't put it onto the network right away.
So they're immediately going to take it off the network, as in what it's been since the well,
not take it off the network, but do what they do with Raw and SmackDown.
It's just a major delay before it reaches.
You're talking at, like a 3 weeks to a month before it gets on.
Yeah,
that I mean that's the only way they can. There's only the only reason that USA would put money into this,
right?
Because otherwise it makes no sense. It'll make because sense, of yeah. what you just said.
Well, yeah. And that's why I hope that somebody doesn't fart and has an epiphany that this would be great for business, because I'll be honest with you, one of the huge buy-in reasons for having a WWE Network, in addition to their great documentaries that they have, mm-hmm. is NXT. Like, I look forward to on a Wednesday watching NXT, and that's not to say that I wouldn't go out of my way to watch NXT on USA, but I'm going to be honest with you, my Wednesdays have been quite no wrestling, and I'm looking forward to fitting in AEW in that slot.
Right.
And look forward to only watching. No offense, I grew up in the Monday Night Wars.
Sure.
Yes, I remember flicking the TV back from WCW and WWE. Again, I was thirsty and hungry as a 15-year-old.
Yeah, but that was a different age.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to do that now. I want to focus in on.
You wouldn't be doing it now.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying.
You've got a DVR.
Well, again, it goes back to what's the difference.
Yeah, exactly. That's that's why I find this hysterical.
It is redundantly stupid.
It is. It's like, the people who want to create this are the people who, have possibly never, they don't remember or weren't alive back then.
Right.
And this has always been a hype thing, the Monday Night Wars and stuff.
Yeah.
And the truth be told, it's like you, in this day and age, people watch pay-per-views without paying for them because they can stream it around.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, the fact of the matter is you're going to, people who say they're going to watch AEW and they're not going to watch NXT are lying.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Period. Because there's way too many options to watch it. But I will say this. The one thing that does on a Wednesday night, based off of focus and me honing in on AEW, is because, I want to be able to watch the journey as it begins.
Yeah.
And really take the opportunity to focus. I know I have the option to watch NXT. If I wanted to watch Thursday morning, I could do that.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? So it's never been a big problem. I think it's going to be interesting. Let's flip this question.
Okay.
How is WWE, if rumor has it, mm-hmm. that actually this is going to happen?
Right.
Okay.
The announcement's coming tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, is it coming tomorrow? Okay.
Most likely.
So how is WWE going to be able to eat the fact that you didn't do anything? You didn't, like we're saying that it's redundant. Like, why are you making these moves? Right. So what is WWE going to realize? Like it did nothing.
No,
it did nothing.
I think you're getting two ideas kind of confused here. Mm-hmm. If they go to 2 hours on a network, now you're talking about sponsorship money.
True.
With their own network, they didn't have to worry about that. So what you are trying to do is actually get viewers. Mm-hmm. If anyone is trying to then start a war, it's them.
WWE?
Yeah.
Yeah.
AEW could have put their product on a Monday night straight against them.
True. That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, WWE would be the ones who are making an aggressive move by putting what many people, I think that article said, feel is the crown possession. Personally, it's It's a unless you're getting a lot of money, which they'll probably get a handful of change.
Yeah. Sure.
They're going to get a handful of change for it. So I think really in the end, the opportunity is for them to make money off of the fact that AEW is on Wednesday night. It's not a competition. It's free cash.
Just money on the table. Mm. They're just trying to, yeah. That makes sense.
Got you. Cool. All right. Well, that's that. That's our three count. And good topics, guys. Thanks. Coming up in just a second, we have from AEW, Christopher Daniels, which is exciting. We'll have him on and see what's going on. And then when we finish that, we'll talk a little bit of SummerSlam, talk a little bit of Raw, and we'll get out of here, okay? So we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here. I want you all to join us at the Boulder Station Hotel and Casino on Monday, August 26th, 6 p.m., where our special guest will be Sin Bodhi. The Warlord of Weird is coming to the Kicks Lounge at Boulder Station Hotel and Casino here in Las Vegas. It is 21 years and older, and there will be a lot of weirdness happening. So please, come on, check it out, and let's see if you can get as weird as Sin.
What's up, everybody? This is your boy, Simon Street, with the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Want to let everybody know that on Thursday, September 5th through Friday, September 6th, at Sam's Town Hotel Gambling Casino, Impact Live Wrestling is going to be here in Vegas. Again, that's going to be on September 5th and September 6th at Sam's Town Live. We're going to be there. Hope to see you there, too.
Hey, this is Sonny Ono, and you're listening to Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. All the great stars are right here on this podcast. Check us out every week. We'll be here. This is Sonny Ono, signing off. Great, minasama. Sonny Ono desu. Kore wa Vegas Bad Boy no podcast desu. Iroiro arimasu kara. Sekai no wrestling star wa koko ni imasu. Yoroshiku onegai shimasu.
We're back with Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
On the phone, we have someone who's been in the industry for nearly three decades. He's currently signed with AEW as in-ring talent and head of talent relations. Everyone, Chris Daniels. How are you doing, Chris?
Great, man. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Absolutely.
So, Chris, I'm going to go right to the biggest question I have, and that is, here you are, Southern California's superstar for years and years and years. When you started out, did you ever see yourself in the position that you're in now, man?
Not really, man. I mean, I'd hoped that success would come. I had no idea the path that it would take. And you got to understand, like in 93 when I started, the landscape was wildly different than it is right now. So, but I mean, I've been very fortunate that when doors have closed, other doors have opened for me. And now with AEW about to start television, it's a brand new landscape for everybody. And so, yeah, man, I'm just happy that things have gone well for me, and I'm looking forward to adding to the landscape of professional wrestling with AEW.
Do you find yourself excited in the sense of you're at that point where, let's face it, the in-ring work is still great, but your body probably starting to figure, you know, a couple more years, maybe you'll start transitioning. This opportunity with AEW, do you feel right now excited about the fact that you get to be, you know, at the other end of things now, as opposed to just, you know, the like you were in TNA, the hired hand, someone, you know, just doing what is being created for you?
Well, honestly, I think the thing that excites me the most about AEW is the idea that I get to be on the ground floor of something that people are excited about. And the difference between being on the ground floor with AEW and being on the ground floor with Ring of Honor or TNA like I was is that I've got much more of a say in the way things go. And, you know, I mean, make no mistake, like the Young Bucks and Cody and Tony and Kenny Omega, those guys are driving the boat. But I'm lucky enough that I have their respect in the sense that they often seek my opinion on things. And so I feel like I've got a hand in how we're going forward. And that to me is exciting, to know that my opinion is going to matter. And, you know, my say, the say that I have might affect the direction of where we go. And that to me is very cool.
Is there someone that you have seen so far that has been signed by AEW that you go, this person's kind of got that talent? Because I know you've got the eye, man. You know, look at all the people you've worked with throughout the years. Is there someone that you're just really excited that is on board and you're just like, I want to work with this person. I want to see them grow.
First person that comes to mind for me is Kip Sabian. He's the guy that I happened to see in the UK a couple years back. And I just remembered when I watched him wrestle for the first time, I thought, okay, this guy's got a good foundation, and it just all he needs is really an opportunity to be seen on a bigger stage. And so I happened to have the ability to get him seen by Ring of Honor, and he was on one of the last UK tours that I did there. And when this opportunity came up for me, I had no problem bringing his name up as someone that I wanted to sort of make an effort to bring into the company. And luckily, the guys that make those decisions, those final decisions, listened to what I had to say. And I feel like in the short time that Kip's been able to be seen by the AEW crowd, I feel like he's already made a bit of a connection. He had a great match with Sammy Guevara at Double or Nothing. He had a great showing against Adam Page at Fight for the Fallen. So I think that the sky's the limit for Kip. And I'm looking forward to seeing him sort of be seen by the nationwide audience and sort of having everybody sort of discover what I already know, is that he's a top-notch talent.
And with the formation of SCU, speaking of, you know, seeing a guy and, you know, realizing their top-notch talent, you've been friends now with Frankie for, what, it's been like almost 20 years, right?
Correct.
Has that relationship been like what you would call maybe your closest relationship in the wrestling business? Or is there someone else who, you know, maybe, you know, has been as much of a traveling partner down the roads?
Well, honestly, like, Frankie is part of a group of guys that we affectionately call ourselves the Triad. But it was myself, Frankie, AJ Styles, and Samoa Joe. And for the longest time, it was the four of us sort of traveling the road together, you know, helping each other out, being there for each other. We're all very close friends. Our families are very close. And in the past couple of years, obviously, we haven't had a chance to travel with AJ and Joe as often as we have. But we still keep in touch. And so, yeah, I mean, like, Frankie has been by my side for the past 7 or 8 years, joined at the hip, basically,
yeah.
Through TNA, through Ring of Honor, and now in AEW. But I mean, he's always been part of that core group of myself, AJ, Joe, and him that we've sort of been together more than a decade now, just sort of watching each other's backs and supporting each other on the road. So, yeah, I mean, he's definitely the closest relationship I've got in the business now. And, you know, we're slowly but surely sort of bringing Scorpio into that position where the three of us now are because thieves and trying to support Scorpio in that same way.
Is it a breath of fresh air bringing in a guy like Scorpio who can arguably be the guy that if you need kind of a rest, you know, night where it's like, hey, Scorpio, you're the younger guy, kick it in a little bit more here today. Has it been fun, you know, just incorporating that energy?
It's never been a thing of like, hey, do all the work, because we're happy to split the work three ways. But it is cool in the sense that Scorpio is a breath of fresh air, and the fact that he's always been a talent that's sort of flown under the radar.
Yeah.
And you know, being able to sort of bring him into the spotlight as well, and giving him the opportunity that we got, as far as like being a part of SCU and being a part of AEW now, it's cool to share that spotlight with him and know that he's a good guy and a great talent. And you know, I'm proud to stand side by side with him and go forward on this journey with the three of us together.
Which is great, because all us fans definitely thank you for that, because mm-hmm. you've just given a lot of exposure to Scorpio, and he's mm-hmm. just such an amazing guy and such an amazing talent.
And catching fire as well. Hey, you know, Chris, kind of switching directions a little bit. You know, I hear that you are, maybe it's safe to say, a bit of a crossword puzzle guru. What kind of got you into, you know, crossword puzzles?
I don't know if guru is the right word. I dabble in the crossword stuff. Just wordplay and just being an avid reader. Like, I'm a comic book guy, so I'm an avid reader. And, you know, it was just something to sort of challenge myself to sort of, you know, use my intellect and sort of sharpen those skills. So, I mean, you know, I don't really profess to be any sort of expert in it. But it's fun to sort of jump into those things and sort of see if my knowledge is up to par.
So, you know, kind of with, you know, sounds like it's a bit more of a hobby. I mean, do you ever look at some of, like, there's actually an American crossword puzzle tournament that's usually held like every year. I mean, is this something that you ever down the road would be interested in, like honing your skills and maybe participating?
I honestly hadn't thought about that, to be honest with you. It's not something that I really sought out to sort of pursue. So who knows, though? Who knows?
Cool. So you say you're a bit of a comic book guy. So I got to ask the question, are you DC or Marvel guy? Or neither?
Oh, definitely Marvel. I'm a definitely Marvel guy from the very beginning. I enjoy DC. Here's the thing. Like, I'm Marvel for the characters, but if I pick up something by DC, it's usually because of the creators that are involved.
Yeah.
Like, I just picked up the first issue of the Jimmy Olsen miniseries that Matt Fraction is writing.
Ooh.
And that has a lot to do with the fact that he wrote a really popular, or a very good Hawkeye series in Marvel a few years back.
Right.
So I decided to give that a roll. You know, one of my favorite creators, Brian Michael Bendis, is doing a lot of great work at DC now, mm-hmm. Working with Superman and Action Comics, and he's writing a miniseries called Event Leviathan now. So, but yeah, for Marvel, it's just something like the characters, especially X-Men, Wolverine, like those are the things that got me into the comic book scene in the first place. And so, regardless of who's writing, who's drawing, I'm usually picking up X-Men books, picking up Wolverine stuff. And now I'm picking up a lot of different Marvel stuff. Really enjoying Jason Aaron's run on Thor, and his finishing that up.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Hickman just started two miniseries starring the X-Men, House of X and Powers of X.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to sort of delving into those books as well.
Well, then I won't send any spoilers your way, but let me tell you, I started picking that up and with my son, and we're reading them, and wow, like, let's just put it this way. However, X-Men's going to be doled out in the MCU and the movies and stuff, I hope maybe they use some of the material. Let's put it that way. So the next question I have is, you know, obviously throughout your history, you know, you have been called the Fallen Angel. Now, with knowing that, you know, it sounds like you really like the X-Men. Did you take a little bit of that from, you know, Archangel by chance?
Actually, no. The name came from, honestly, there was a mini series that Marvel did back in the day called Fallen Angels that was something that Chris Claremont wrote it, and it was starring Sunspot and some of the other New Mutants. at the time. And then, so when I started, I had the idea of, you know, I was starting out as a good guy and then turned villainous. And so that sort of spoke to me, the idea of the name, the Fallen Angel. And that was what sort of sparked that idea in me, is seeing that comic book. And then the idea of that, the idea behind that name sort of stuck. And then over the years, you know, I sort of explored the idea of doing a character that had a religious background. And, you know, after sort of experimenting with it for many years, I decided to sort of step away from it, just because it was much more of a put-on character than the character that I am in real life. And I decided to sort of lean into myself as a character rather than, you know, portraying a written character. And so I sort of stepped away from the idea of the religious background of it, and now I just use the name as a nickname, to be honest.
Gotcha. So, you know, I got to ask, you know, another question with this then. You know, with regards to the comic book scene, and you see just, you know, refleshing of DC and Marvel, correct? You know, do you feel like it might be time in the comic book world to start really putting in stock into trying to have new characters, new creations? Would that be something that you would be interested in as a comic book reader?
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, there's something to be said about replenishing the well. You know, there's always going to be great stories. I think the thing with characters that are tried and true, you know, characters like the X-Men and the Avengers and Spider-Man, is to get new authors to get on that. But at the same time, like, for example, Marvel is creating new characters all the time. Mm-hmm. They have ties to the older characters. Like, you know, they just created Ironheart. Riri Williams is a version of Iron Man, an offshoot of Iron Man. Miles Morales, the character that was, you know, made famous in the Into the Spider-Verse movie that just came out. Brian Michael Bendis created that character as an offshoot of Spider-Man. And, like, to me, that's the best of the creative, is to take an idea and sort of do a different spin on it. And, you know, and then you've got, you know, Peter Parker Spider-Man, and now you've got Miles Morales Spider-Man, and there's two different avenues to go with those two different characters. So, I mean, there's something to be said about playing off of the older characters, and there's something to be said about creating brand new characters. And I feel like there's a little bit of both, especially in Marvel. And I'm sure if I were to do the research, I'd find the same thing in DC, the same thing in anything else. You take these iconic characters and you sort of play off of them and create new characters and a new supporting cast, and you go with that.
What's interesting, as you were just saying that, that really ties into almost what AEW is doing. You Bingo. Know, I love the fact that comic books and wrestling just kind of parallel like that.
Yeah, I've always said that they're the two types of entertainment that they're very similar, in the sense that there's no season. It's 24/7, 365 days a year. You've got new comics every month. You've got another wrestling show every week or month or whatever it is. Like for AEW, starting October 2nd, there's going to be a weekly show. So, I mean, the stories are always going to be ongoing. The characters are going to be interacting with each other, and different protagonists against different antagonists. You know, it's just an ongoing saga, and that to me is something that always appealed to me with both pro wrestling and comic books.
And nowadays, too, it seems like with you know, comic book movies being so popular, it seems like wrestling is kind of finding that, you know, younger audience again. From your own perspective as a, you know, as a parent, do you guys as a family go to like the Marvel movies, and are the kids interested in wrestling at all?
The kids are interested in the Marvel movies. I drag them to all of them. so they watch those. They're not super interested in wrestling, though. They do not. Every once in a while they'll watch me, but they don't watch wrestling as a whole. And I don't force them to. I mean, if they wanted to watch wrestling, I would support them. I would let them watch. But it's just not their game right now. So I'm letting them sort of find themselves and do what they want to do. And you know, and maybe in the future they'll get into wrestling. But right now, it's not on their menu.
is this time of year crazy at home because of the fact that the school year's starting back up and, you know, the kids are going back to school and, you know, there's just a lot of schooling going on at your house. Is this the busiest time for you guys?
It will be, and my wife is a teacher as well, so I mean that sort of throws us all into the mix of school year starting up. She's just now preparing lesson plans and getting prepared to sort of dive into the school year. It's busy, but I mean, you know, it's what we do. We had a good summer, and now it's time to sort of get back to the drawing board and get this thing going again.
And speaking of getting this thing going again, All Out is coming to you, Chicago, at the end of the month here. What is it for you like having basically started in Chicago as a wrestler and now all these years later getting to come back to such an excitement and you know, just an amazing, what is going to be an amazing weekend with StarCast going on and All Out going on? Is it just, you know, just sweet to be back kind of in what would be almost your cradle there of youth for being a wrestler?
I mean, I've never really considered Chicago I don't have the ties to Chicago like you would say Sam Punk has the ties or Colt Cabana.
Right.
I started there, but I wasn't there very long. And I feel like now that I've sort of planted my roots in Southern California, that's sort of the home base for me. But I will say that over the course of 26 years, I've come to realize that the Chicago area, the Midwest, has always had a strong wrestling fan base.
Yeah.
And I've been very fortunate to be able to wrestle in, a lot of big buildings out there, whether it was the Sears Center or the Odeon or other places out there. And, it's cool to know that All Out, we're going to sort of return to where it all sort of started for AEW in the sense of All In. It's sort of where, it's not where the idea first originated, but I think it's the location where a lot of questions were answered as to whether we have the ability to do something big like this. So to be able to go back to the Sears Center and perform it All Out, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There are going to be a lot of people that, it's been a year since All In, and we're looking forward to see the changes, the differences between where we were a year ago and where we are today, and knowing that we're going forward right from All Out into weekly television. It's a big deal for us, man. We're there's a lot of stuff coming for us in the next couple weeks, and we're gearing up and making sure that we're ready to put our A game out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing thing is that, now it's exciting because once All Out finishes, the TV's almost ready to start up. And I think that every single fan is so excited because it's a breath of fresh air.
I feel like there's excitement for this like there hasn't been for a long time in pro wrestling. At least the idea, I feel like wrestling as a whole is sort of enjoying a little bit of a renaissance.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're starting up, it's just one of the positive outcomes of this renaissance. The fact that there's a new company and there's a television show on primetime cable that, it's going to be the widest audience that I think we've ever had a chance to sort of work in front of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me is a big deal. And, like I said, I'm looking forward to sort of adding to that landscape and making sure that AEW is around for a very long time.
So Chris, with that, speaking more of yourself personally, you've accomplished so much in the span of your career. What is your legacy that you want to leave and you want everybody to know when you're ready to hang it up?
Well, I've always sort of wanted to have the respect of everybody that I worked with. And, that was more important to me than anything else, just to know that, if people saw my name across from theirs on a lineup, they knew they were going to get someone working with him and doing his best to make the match matter. I feel like I've been very fortunate in that respect, that I've had the chance to work with a lot of greats. And I feel like hopefully if you asked all of them what their opinion was of me and my work, it would be mostly positive. And, and going forward, like you said earlier, I may not have a lot of in-ring career left, but I'm going to use those years to, make an impact with AEW and start this thing off right. And hopefully when I'm done with my in-ring stuff, you'll be able to look back and say, okay, he really did a lot to help AEW grow. He did a lot to help AEW get out of starting blocks with a bang. And, this company that hopefully lasts a long, long time, TD had a hand in making it work.
And I think making it work and having a hand, that's something that you've been doing, if you've known it or not known it, since, you ended up in California. We talk to guys all the time, and one of the things I've really realized is that you're the Kevin Bacon of wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's always 7 degrees. You can find anyone in this business, we can trace them back to you.
Very true.
Yeah, man. It's cool. And like I said, I've been very fortunate to work with a lot of guys. And that's one of the things, like I said, as long as I came out of that with a positive experience with those guys, that means a lot to me. Being able to work with some of the best in the world and hopefully having their respect, it carries weight with me.
Yeah, and, just looking back at UPW and all the work that you did there and all the influence that you had on all of us, whether you knew it or didn't know it, it's just an amazing thing to see how far you've come and grown. And I remember there was that match in WCW when, it was just such a, like, we were all stunned when you got hurt. Because we were just like, oh, my God. It was like...
No one more than me, probably.
Yeah. So, to see you, persevere through that opportunity into your next opportunity, into your next one, and now you're at the beginning of something that could be one of the most impactful, wonderful things that anyone could say they've done in their life. And I'm just so, thrilled and proud of you, brother.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much.
Chris, man, we're going to wrap it up, man. Thank you so much. We want to remind everyone, AEW starting October 2nd, Wednesdays on TNT, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Is there anything else you want to promote or maybe throw your social media out there for folks to know?
My social media, like I do all my best work on Twitter. You can follow me at FAC Daniels. If you don't know, by now, October 2nd, Wednesday night on TNT, and then going forward every Wednesday night, TNT, AEW is going to be there, and let's see what happens, man.
Yeah.
Everybody joined in, and let's make something big.
Absolutely. Everyone, Chris Daniels.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Hey everybody, this is Matt Michaels, and I'm encouraging you to check out Vampiro's Lucha Fight Club. They'll be having a live event August 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Rio Hotel and Casino right here in Las Vegas. If you're looking for some great Lucha Libre action, Vampiro's Lucha Fight Club is the place to be. We'll be there. Will you?
What's up, y'all? This is Sin City Steve. Just urging you to join us, the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, as we are going to be at ROH, Death Before Dishonor, on September the 27th, live from Sam's Town here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Bell time is 6 p.m., and the very next night, September the 28th, there will be a live international TV taping. Again, September 27th and 28th, live at Sam's Town. Come check out Ring of Honor.
Now back to Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
Welcome back. All right, so Simon Street, we got the opportunity to go to SummerSlam out in Toronto, which was a beautiful place to be. We had a great time. But SummerSlam, good show as well. And Matt definitely get up on this too as you was watching it on the network. What do you guys think of the show? I'll just start off by saying, and I'm sure everyone's number one thing has to be Bray, right? I mean, just his entrance back into the ring was just amazing.
Bray was there?
The Fiend.
Oh, okay. I was wondering because Bray wasn't there. It was The Fiend.
let's go with The Fiend. But from an arena perspective, man, it came off. I don't know how it came off, Matt, on the network, but just being there, I would tell you, the fans, Canada, if you watch WWE, you know, whenever they go to a few places, and Canada's one of them, it doesn't matter if it's Montreal Chicago. Or, yeah, when they're there, they are pretty, you know,
brutal.
When it comes. And they were ecstatic at his entrance. They were just amazed at the match, how it ended. The chance was just unreal. Definitely the highlight of SummerSlam. But what is your guys' take over not only that particular match, but others as well?
I would definitely say that entrance was definitely something. Something great. And what I'm more interested in with what was the creative process as far as going through the change? Because, you know, there's always that thing that people say that, you know, WWE is always, you know, kind of controlling with what the creative process would be. You know, some people have said, and again, these aren't substantial facts because we don't know, but that Bray Wyatt was able to have some leadway to create this and kind of have his way. Mm-hmm. And if so, if that's the case and that's the product, then kudos to him because, I mean, man, coming in with the Bray Wyatt head with the lantern inside, that was pure magic. The song was remixed amazingly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like you heard like the, oh, kill. Oh, I was like, wow, I was getting into it. I was like, man. And the reason what I was thinking about that was because, you know, you look at great entrances, creepy. Immediately what comes to most people's mind is The Undertaker. And for the longest time, no one's been able to, in my opinion, really come close. I would say that Finn Balor's demon is up there. But, man, I tell you, The Fiend, I think, is here to stay. Even changed up some of his moveset.
Sure.
He now does the claw. I don't know what he calls it now, but he does the claw. It seems somewhat convincing. I was surprised that he was able to snap somebody's neck. We'll see if that's gonna stay. They had a problem with the curb stump at one point, but snapping somebody's neck, I don't know.
Right.
But I was thoroughly entertained. As far as like the Toronto crowd, like you were saying, there are some cities that, like, you know, I'm pretty sure wrestlers know, you go there, they're going to be brutally honest, and they definitely were. If they liked something, they liked it. If they hated it, they hated it.
Yeah.
And they didn't care exactly how they were going to go about it. Great atmosphere. I felt like the card was good, SummerSlam-wise.
Sure.
The last one, Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar, like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, real, honestly, that was a bit of a curveball, and maybe I'm just naive.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that they were going to do with the old sauce that they always do. You know, Brock Lesnar has the championship. He's going to dominate. But they made it great. You know, Seth Rollins on that Shawn Michaels type of thing. Like, he dug deep, man.
Right, yeah.
One of them rib injuries was so bad. He just dug deep, and he was able to do that frog splash on the outside. Yeah. But what about those ribs? but it was really cool, greatly entertaining. You know, as far as SummerSlam, was it perfect? No. But was I still entertained and happy I went on a trip and bought a ticket? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
What do you think, Michaels?
The crowd reaction to Natty was amazingly bad. Which was very, you know, good for Canada for not falling into the, hey, we're going to make her a face because mm-hmm. she's in Canada.
Right.
They were trying that, and it
yeah.
backfired badly on them.
Yeah.
But it worked for Trish.
Yes, it did.
Because you were going against a legit heel. Mm-hmm. So,
and I don't even know if you noticed this. I don't know how it came off on TV because it was very light, but you can hear it. At the show, when Trish got into the ring, right as the bell rung, they started singing their national
yeah,
anthem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like, know if you can hear nowhere. That. Out of nowhere. Wow. It just like they just started. And it was like, I was telling Simon, where did that come from? They
I
just,
don't know.
They just started singing.
And I started singing. I only know like the first three words to the song. I was like, I wish I knew the words.
And then after they finished, they did a little cheer, but it wasn't really loud. So it probably didn't come out. But but they were doing it very low at the arena. It was awesome.
Are you
but
sure it wasn't just the three people behind you just...
You know what? It really wasn't.
No, it was. Yeah. But you know, you're right about that, though.
And you know what? And to give you an idea of sound, it was very faint. You could barely hear the when they were singing the Bailey "I Want to Marry You" song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. I want to know. Yeah. Would you be my girl?
Yeah. So you could, I mean, yeah, the sound wasn't great in terms of it coming over.
Sure.
I think there was a lot of like questions on, you know, oh, Goldberg, did he have to blah, blah, blah? And, you know, it's like, yeah, you had to build him back up because he's back. You know, also it looks like they're, you know, kind of doing this with Ziggler where it's, you know, it's Beatdown City for him. And
right.
They're probably going somewhere with that character, hopefully.
And again, I thought that was entertaining too. Yeah. I mean, and Dolph is perfect for that. I mean, I don't think a lot of people could pull that off, but he does it well. It was just funny.
Yeah. No, it was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you had good things.
Yeah.
I think the main event was good. We assumed it was going to be about a 5-minute match.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up being about a 17-minute match.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that was fine.
Yeah.
overall, you know, it. Are you going and writing out the letters to the Federation that it was, you know, such an amazing show? Probably not.
All right.
But it was a solid, you know, pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I don't think there were, you know, many problems.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if people had problems with it, these are the same people who think that NXT is the greatest thing ever and no pay-per-view will be able to match up to it if it's a takeover before a pay-per-view.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's SummerSlam. We're going to jump to the next night, which was Raw. Mm. And, you know, Simon Street, man, go ahead and just start us off, man. What do you think of Raw?
All right, so anyways, man, like Raw was just straight lit. As you know, like Sasha Banks came out. We thought she had the purplish pink hair. She ain't had none of that, man. And she straight up just slapped Natty so bad. And then after that, she had like the chair shots, and then Becky came out. She had the chair shots. Man, it was so great.
She had blue hair. She had like blue hair. Had blue balls for her.
You know what? I didn't. I almost shot my load. But I tell you what, I held back because I was in public. I don't know what the laws are in Toronto, Canada. I want to be in a foreign prison. But let me tell you, Sasha Banks is back. Like I done told all of y'all slap nuts for the longest times, it was a beautiful day. It was a holiday. In fact, we should mark that date when Sasha Banks came back and call it Bank Statement Day.
Oh, God.
You know, I'm pretty excited that when I was at the arena that I was sitting on the opposite side from you because, first off, I didn't want to get jizzed on.
I'd have probably poked you in the eye.
And the second thing, I saw you too excited. I even took pictures from across the arena. Of him just losing his mind when she came out.
He was like Michael Jackson with a little boy. That's what you're trying to say?
Wow. Really? Really? You got me on the edge of the bed like that?
Oh, my God.
I was just saying.
Man, when you hit low, it's just something. I don't understand. Look, at the end of the day, Sasha Banks will always have
Wait,
a
hold
special
up, man.
Plate.
Give me a second, man. I got the phone lighting up over here.
You got a phone call.
I never know who has this number. This makes no sense. Hold on, give me a second. Hey, who this?
Yo, this is the Big Valley Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion, Frank the Tank.
Oh, my goodness.
Ah, it's your boy, Frank the Tank. Awesome. What's up? What's good?
Tell us what's going on, man. You got a match and everything coming up.
Yeah, I got a match, but, you know, I'm preparing for it like I do every other match. You know, this dude, Ace Romero, he's about to come in into my building. I think he's going to take my title, and that's not going to happen. You know, September 1st, you know, Labor Day weekend at the Sahara Event Center, they've entitled this whole show the biggest and the baddest. And yeah, this dude is ranked in ESPN, and you know, and he's got a whole bunch of hype going for him, but he's never stepped in the ring with Frank the Tank. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But let me back up a second.
Okay.
We was talking about Canada. We was talking about Monday Night Raw.
Right.
I watched that. First of all, actually in Canada, women can actually walk around with their shirts off just like men can. So you might actually have something there. You might be able to do some things in Canada that you can't do here in America. All right, so
I wouldn't try.
I'd have been safe.
Just in case you didn't know, you know, they're one of the countries now, you know, the whole free the nipple, you know, movement is definitely in Canada. Women can walk around shirtless as well. They don't because, you know, women are much smarter than that because, you know, it's bad enough when they got clothes on, men trying to get at them, you know.
I can't confirm or deny that we were looking at the talent of Toronto.
Yeah, and we had neck problems. See, let's put it that way. We had neck problems.
This is exactly why Ace Romero is going to kick your ass. Because you get so sidetracked easy, man.
See?
And you just don't have the focus to maintain that title.
Wow.
You gonna let him talk about you like that?
Look here. Frank the Tank never gets. You know what? Hold on. I'm playing Madden right now. Give me a second. All right, I'm back. Check this out. Frank the Tank never gets sidetracked. Do you understand me?
You just did.
That did not happen. No, Frank the Tank does not get sidetracked. As a matter of fact, this is a distraction for me in Madden. All right? Just know one thing. If Frank the Tank ever got you on Madden, it's over. Matter of fact, we got a huge esports arena here. In Vegas. You know what I mean? Any day, anytime, I'll be more than happy to bring my custom Frank the Tank controller down and show you what's up.
Oh, custom. Exactly. And he's got to use a custom controller, which I assume means you're going to cheat.
No. Custom controller for a custom ass whooping that he's going to deliver. Like real fast. Not like no Grubhub delivery. We talking about instantaneously Uber-style delivery. Full price.
Yeah, it's gonna be tailored like a tuxedo, right for you.
Well, I just hope that you can back it up on September 1st, because when you step into that ring for Big Valley Wrestling to defend that title, you're gonna have your hands full with one of the best around, and he is called Ace for a reason, because he's the ace card, brother.
Ooh, he's the ace card. Oh my gosh!
You know what? I knew you were gonna say that, but here's the thing. People don't know this, but early in my career, I was part of a tag team called Joker's Wild. And everybody knows that the one card that can trump an ace is a Joker. Frank the Tank has been that his entire career. I have always been that card up somebody's sleeve that was able to come in and get the job done. You know what I mean? For the last year, I have beaten whomever they put in front of me. I've beaten men from Japan. I've beaten men from New York. I've beaten men from right here in Las Vegas. I've beaten men from all over the world, and I'm still the heavyweight champion. Matter of fact, I've even beaten demigods.
Demigods.
You know what I mean? I've even beaten Funny Bone himself.
Wow. All right,
so
that's saying a lot.
Don't think that Ace Romero is just about to walk in this door and hand me an ass whooping, and I'm just about to lay down and lose my title. All right? Because if you really look back, you see that he and I are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
He and I have power. He and I have strength. He and I have speed. He and I have agility. All right? So it's literally like looking into a mirror, like a mirror with side boobs. You understand me?
Oh, I understand. Because at September 1st, when you look in that mirror, Frank, you guys are going to have one other thing in common. You'll have both been the heavyweight champion, because he'll have the belt then.
You know what? Hold on. Let me interject. Michaels, whatever the heck you smoking on, bro, you need to change that up, bro, because it got you just on some different type of stuff, bro. What are you talking about? At the end of the day, Frank the Tank is going to do what he always do, all right? He going to finish the job. He's going to finish off Ace. He going to rip that card in half. And then, like you said, it's going to be another day. There's never been a problem with every opponent that's ever faced him. Plain and simple. It's a simple equation. You plus Frank the Tank equals your ass is done. It's simple math. Now, you know, I'm sorry, Frank the Tank. You called us, and we appreciate it. But, you know, Matt Michaels, you know what I'm saying, man, he needs to switch up some of that doshas that's going on a little bit because he's just lost his mind. He will learn come time your name and put some respect on it. Plain and simple.
Exactly.
The biggest and the baddest going down Sunday, September 1st at the Sahara Event Center, 3 p.m. start time. It's going to be an awesome show because from what I'm hearing right now, Frank the Tank is just going to maintain being champion.
Exactly. What you got to say,
Mike? Yeah, here's the thing. Most guys sit up there and they run their mouth. Uh-huh. They sit up there talking about they're going to win this, they're going to win that, they're going to guarantee this, they're going to guarantee that. I don't do none of that. All I say is that every match I'm going into, I have one simple prediction, and that prediction is pain. Mm. All right? So here's the thing. I don't care if I win or lose. What I do care about is causing as much every time I step through those ropes. That's why people are afraid of Frank the Tank. That's why people don't want to step in the ropes with me. It's because they know that when they have to deal with 450 plus pounds of me, they definitely got an ass whooping coming.
That's a take.
And it doesn't matter if you are a wrestler or a manager or a referee or some dumb fan that thinks that he can just jump in the ring and go toe to toe with Frank the Tank. They all catch pain. Mm. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm just.
And that includes everybody on this phone conversation.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, the fact of the matter is that come September 1st at Big Valley Wrestling, people are going to end up calling you Frank the Garbage Truck.
What?
Because there ain't going to be nothing but dumping going on from your end because you're dumping the title, brother.
Frank, let me just put this out real quick. When you come on over here and you whoop some asses real quick, can you like take my name off the list? Because Street is on your side, all right? Street understands the facts. Michael's, I don't know what fairy tale book he's reading out of. It's probably page turning through his ass. I have no idea. But could you just promise me that real quick, man? Because, you know, I got to be honest with you, man. I got a pretty face, and I got to keep this pretty face. It helps me make money. So if you come over here and mangle me, it's going to be a problem. Not that I would stop you, but as far as Michaels, man, you can come on up.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
All right.
The gauntlet has been laid down.
Yes.
Man, Michaels, after I'm done with Ace Romero, if you feel bold enough to get into the ring, I got plenty of left hands and right hands for you. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You step up to the mic and get mic checked for real. Seriously.
How's your insurance,
with
Matt?
With that being said, yeah, I hope your insurance is paid up. And I'm not talking about medical insurance. I'm talking about life insurance.
You know what?
Because I will snatch souls.
I got
on September 1st if I have to.
I got my phone blown up here. I got to go take this.
Oh, do you now?
Yes,
do you now? Do you now?
Yeah, he's out of here.
I ain't never seen a never ever seen Matt Michaels walk that fast. Man, you done put the fear of God in him.
Apparently. Well, awesome, Frank the Tank, man. You're going to be in action again at the biggest and baddest event Sunday, September 1st at the Sahara Event Center. It's going down at 3 p.m. They got great seats available. $30 VIP would get you in the first row. Second row at $25. Third row at $20. And kids 12 and under is free with an adult purchase. General admission, 15. $15. You can get all of this. It's going to be a pretty big stacked card for that event. Just follow them at Big Valley Wrestling, all on their social media, Big Valley Wrestling. Frank the Tank, thanks, man, for calling us. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. I got to get back to Madden because, you know, it only waits for so long before it act like it want to try and do some other stuff. So,
yeah,
no problem, man. And if you ever run into Sasha Banks, tell her I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for her.
Boom.
Got you.
No doubt. Thank you, Frank. Frank the Tank, everyone.
All right, later.
Later.
Later. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
And let me tell you, Frank the Tank is still listening. And again, how the hell do these people get this number? And yeah, how do they know we're talking about stuff right now?
That's true.
So weird.
And also, too, man, if he knew this number, you better believe it's going to be a problem if my ex-wives and the baby mamas that are trying to claim my DNA on their kids, that's going to be a problem, man. We can't have that.
We got to figure out how to change this number that we never gave out, but somehow they have. And I don't even know if changing it would do anything because for some reason I feel they'll get it again. It's just like the telemarketers, right? How do they get your numbers?
Exactly.
They just somehow get it. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and get ready to end the show. Any final thoughts about anything we talked about or even upcoming, Simon Street?
You know what? Normally I would say it's a lot, but it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Absolutely.
Just in general, we got, you know, AEW on the horizon starting their TV on TNT, and that's going to be super excited.
And again, thank Christopher Daniels
I was going to get to that too.
No doubt,
but thank you. You know, Christopher Daniels, just outstanding guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, like, the legacy he's going to leave behind is going to be something that a lot of people are going to talk about.
Absolutely.
And they're already talking about it now.
Right.
So, other than that, that's all I got to say.
All right, Matt.
Just get ready for the end of September. FSW last night had a show.
Okay.
And it was remarkable. You got to see Killer Cross versus Lance Archer.
Okay.
Friend of the show, Lance Hoyt. So
it was
a wonderful time. Everyone put on a great performance, wonderful show.
Yeah.
But at the end of September, ROH will be here.
Yes.
And then after ROH leaves, it will be the mecca for FSW. And that show is going to have the Lucha Bros.
Ah.
So if you're in Vegas,
yes,
get your tickets.
Awesome. Makes the most sense. All right. Well, until then, everyone, continue to tell folks to subscribe if you enjoy the show and check out our social media sites for all the latest information we put in. Until then, we're out.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.